got to do something. Pick up Joseph a lot, I guess, or things like that. But perhaps you've been a member of a 4-H club, right? Member of a curling club or a team of some sort. It's something that we've all done at some point in our lives, or perhaps will do. And in light of this, and in light of the morning we've had in welcoming new members into our church fellowship, I'd like to take this opportunity and kind of borrow the slogan from Virgin Mobile and title the message this morning, "It's Better to Be a Member." Okay? I know I'm kind of a copycat here, but we want to talk about church membership. Okay? And part of our passage is going to come from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, but we're going to look at different passages, and we've even read some already this morning from Hebrews. I'd like to begin just though by first talking about what I mean by a member. Okay? What do I mean by membership? When I refer to church membership, like we have here at Gilmore, I'm referring to somebody who, whether by a signature or by word of commitment or promise, says, "I'm committed to a people. I'm committed to hear the word of God preached. I'm committed to a people who perform the ordinances that Jesus gave his church, baptism and the Lord's Supper. I'm committed to a people who commit to the one another commandments, to love one another, to exhort one another, to admonish one another, to hold one another accountable." You might be asking, okay, Pastor, so where's that verse in the Bible that says we have to become members of a local church? And the short answer is, you won't find that verse. I can't find that verse. Okay, that verse isn't there. But we have in 1 Corinthians 12, in other passages, the implication, the direction, the message that points to membership as a necessity, as an important part of being involved in the local church. So I want to look at some verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And what we see here is Paul uses the word member in this passage, and you'll be familiar with it perhaps when you see it. Before we get there, I do want to mention that this is not every church has membership as a value or membership as a part of their ethos or denomination. You'll notice I got this off the CBOQ website. See, Canadian Baptists of Ontario, Quebec. Yeah, that's who we are. I decided to share. I had to point out myself. Okay, and Amy. That was at a retreat for pastors they have in the fall. That was from a couple years ago, but they had that picture up. So okay, so it's part of what we believe at Gilmore, but it's also part of our denomination. Okay, so I wanted you to know that. So let's look here at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 14 to 18. And how about you read this with me, if you will. If you feel up to it, how about we stand and stretch those legs again and read this together, standing for God's word. Let's begin. "For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose." Remain standing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this text, and we thank you for your word. And now we just pray, Lord, that you'll help us. Help us understand more about this subject, but more than anything, your eternal truths and principles. Write them on our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, the local church, and not just the global church, is a body. Okay, did you catch that? The local church and the global church is a body. If you're a follower of Jesus, you're part of the big C church, okay? The church universal, right? Catholic means universal. So we're all part of the universal church, the universal body of believers. However, there's also a local body of believers, isn't there? That's like us. We're a local body where I'm a finger, or I'm an eye, or you're a foot, or you're a nose, or so on and so on. And that's what we find here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So the word member, as we just read in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, points to us being a part of a local organism, okay? Where the finger and the eye, etc., etc., belong. They are members. Here, the scripture teaches us that each part is important. So it should matter to the eye what happens to the toe. It should matter to the ear, right? What happens to the, nose. Fill in the blank. So there should be some coherence to it. It should function in some organic way. I want us to notice verse 26 of this same chapter. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. But let's we live in a society and in a day and age when we're hesitant to put our name down and commit. Do you know what I'm talking about? I think my generation is the most non-committal generation in the history of civilization. Okay, I'm not proud of that. It's true. And some of you are thinking, yeah, you are. Yeah. We're afraid to commit, right? We don't want to miss out on something else, right? There's this whole idea that, well, if I say yes to that, that means I'm saying no to these possibilities. And in our world today, there's endless possibilities, right? And many options, right? We're also in a very ultra-cautious society. We're cautious about what we sign up for because we don't want to get on some company's spam email list, right? You know what I'm talking about? We want to be on the safe side. We'd rather undercommit than overcommit, right? And there's some good things about that. We value, a little too much, I think, individualism, independence, self-sufficiency, and we resist authority. We adopt this don't get in my space mindset. Okay? You know what I'm talking about? You know? This is my space. You're crowding me here. You're crowding me. You're asking a little too much of me. That's so common in this world today. What is the effect on the church, though? What is the effect on God's church, on this local organism? Pastor and author John Piper notes that when we don't know who the members are, it's hard to do the things God calls us to do. Here are two simple examples. For one, the biblical command to submit and honor those in spiritual leadership. I want us to look at Hebrews 13, verse 17, and one other verse, which says, and let's read it together. You may be seated for this. Let's read it. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls, those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. And I say amen to that. 1 Timothy 5:17. Let's read this one. Let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in preaching and teaching. Let's not lose that. So clearly, there's a biblical command to submit and honor those in spiritual leadership. Now, if there's no understanding of local church membership, who are we to submit and obey? Right? So if I'm not a member, I really don't need to submit. If I don't have this covenant relationship, if I'm not really a part of this, if I haven't really signed on, I don't really have to submit or honor that person in spiritual authority. Do you know what I'm saying? Do you understand? Now, this doesn't mean follow the lunatic. And there are a lot of quote-unquote churches out there where pastors and spiritual leaders are tell their people to do some crazy things. And that's not what I'm talking about. Because elders and church leaders have the responsibility of following Christ themselves. But do you understand? This is one example. The other is the biblical concept of church discipline. We could look earlier in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, where the scripture points out a situation of moral failure, a man walking in blatant, unrepentant sexual immorality. The particular command was given to put that person out of the church because they were proud, arrogant, and unrepentant about what they had done. Okay, Paul gives this command in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Put that person out of the church. But we've got to ask ourselves, if there was no sort of covenant relationship, if there was no some type of membership, how could you put him out? He could just say, I don't go here. I just go here, rather. I could just go somewhere else. Right? I just go here. They can't put me out of anything because I'm not in anything. Right? Do you see how we don't have that thou shalt be a member clause in the scriptures, but there's this implication going on as we study the New Testament church and we study the what makes a church a church. Right? There are some shoulds. Maybe not thou shalt, but there is a should here. Church discipline has little effect where there isn't commitment to a covenant community of faith. What we understand as local church membership. People just leave and start attending somewhere else and often repeat the same mistake. It's like children that don't want to get disciplined. What do? They run. They run from mom's or dad's, you know, choice of discipline, and they never mature. Right? Another way of looking at it is this. Take this Frisbee team that I was a part of this summer. Okay? Because I belong to it, I could get put off the team. Okay? Because I belong to it, I get put off the team. If I just showed up once in a while and played, they couldn't really tell me I'm off the team. Do you understand? Because I wasn't really on the team. You know what I'm saying? In the case of the latter, if I'm not on the team, it's a lot easier to leave if I have a conflict with another player, if I don't like the leadership or an opinion, or if I say I want us to be wearing blue jerseys and they all wanted to be wearing yellow jerseys, I could say, well, fine, I'm going to go find a team that wears blue jerseys. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a lot easier to do those kinds of things if we're not on the team. So for these reasons, we believe and we value church membership. We believe it's implied in the nature of the church. It's implied in Christian discipleship that everybody should, by a covenant commitment of some kind, put their name on the line and say, I'm here. While I'm in this place, until God leads me otherwise, I'm here. This is my people and I'm committed. I wonder that if people are resistant to that, why is there another deeper issue that needs to get sorted out? Because it seems like something that we could do. I also want to say, though, that there are some people who are not members that are very committed to the local church. Okay? And there are people that are members that appear very uncommitted to the local church. I'm not thinking or speaking of anyone here in particular. I'm just talking about in general, in the church of God. And I think you know what I mean. So there's no sentence, as I said earlier, that says, thou shalt be a church member. It's not a matter that we force upon. It's not a matter that someone's going to lose their salvation over. It's not going to make God love you any less than he does. Or any more, for that matter. So, My encouragement to you is to be prayerful about this matter. I just scratched the surface of why we here at Gilmore and why we are in the Baptist denomination, why we value church membership. That's just a couple of examples I gave. And you need to wrestle with these things if you're not already a member here. And you need to be prayerful about them. Why am I not a member here? And really, do I have a really good reason for that? So, be prayerful about the matter, and I would encourage you to speak to myself or any of the deacons if you'd like to discuss it further. We want to be more than open to that. So for those that are members or those that are going to be, what I'd like to do is present four important responsibilities to remember. Okay, besides what I've already mentioned, four important responsibilities. And I'll admit, I'm borrowing these from a church that I used to be part of. So, just in case you think, oh, that's worded nicely, I can't take the credit. So, membership responsibilities. Well, the first is obvious, that I'm a follower of Jesus, baptized to show my commitment in a visible way. Okay, and that's why I showed those pictures today. There's definitely part of that as we welcomed our members in this morning. So, secondly, I'm committed to worship Christ. As part of my worship lifestyle, attending Sunday services at Gilmore is a high priority for me. Further, I'm financially supporting the ministry of our church by giving back to the Lord a biblical portion of my increase. This is part of what it means to be a responsible member. Thirdly, I'm continuing to walk with Christ and in fellowship with other Christ followers through regular and personal study of the Bible, prayer, personal witness, involvement in a small group or some sort. And I put in a little plug for our small group all here at Gilmore, an Acts 29 study on sharing our faith. It's going to start in just a couple of weeks. There's sign-ups in the back. We're involved, avoiding criticism of others, and always seeking to biblically resolve any conflict in the spirit of Matthew 18. You'll notice in verses 15 to 17 of that chapter. And fourthly and finally, I am at work for Christ, and I have found my place of service at Gilmore. I am committed to fruitful ministry by using my spiritual gifts for God's glory. Right? I'm committed to worship Christ. I'm continuing to walk with Christ. I am at work for Christ. This is part of the responsibilities of being a member of a church. So, I don't know if I'd preached on that before or taught on that before, but I think it's helpful. It's helpful for me. I hope it's been helpful for you. And if you want this list, or I don't know, I could email it to you. Or if you want to think more about that or have more discussion on this subject, I totally would welcome that as well. I want to highlight that number one again. To follow Jesus Christ. He has given us, to follow him, this supper of communion, this table of remembrance. And what we're going to do now is take time to remember Christ. To remember the one we follow. If you're not a follower of Christ, let me encourage you to consider that is the most important decision you'll ever make, whether or not you will follow Christ with all your heart. He's calling. He's waiting. Perhaps you need to renew that commitment to follow him. This table of communion is for those who are followers of Jesus. So if you are a follower of Jesus here today, you are welcome at this table and welcome to participate. I'm going to bow in prayer and I'm going to ask our deacons to come forward and we're going to sing to begin. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a privilege it is to be a part of your family. Lord, we live in a world where there are many people craving a sense of belonging. Father, we know that there is an answer for that in Jesus. And Lord, what an awesome an amazing truth it is that when we give our lives to you, we become your child and part of your family, adopted into your family. And nothing can change that, Lord. And so we want to thank you. So, Lord, may we be appreciative this morning in a renewed sense for your love for us, for what you did for us on the cross of Calvary, and the great privilege it is to be a part of your church. Thank you for your church, Lord, and for using it to accomplish your work. Find us faithful, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.